Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for tuning in to my 21st century talk for a no bullshit world. Because who doesn't want to go out and make things happen instead of just waiting for them to happen? That's right, and we're going to be talking about that today because we have a great show planned. I'm going to be speaking with a man who's all about making things happen, the founder and CEO of Stage 32, the online social networking and community resource for the entertainment industry. That's right, Richard R.B. Botto is going to be calling in. Can't wait to speak to R.B. because I've been a member of this site. Well, I guess I joined about a year ago and kind of followed their success. Yeah, huge success. I mean, when I joined, I don't know, R.B. will tell us, might have been about 150,000 members. And yeah, I read about them in one of our industry rags, and I said, well, I got to jump on this. And within 3 years of founding the site, founded in February of 2011, the site has grown, I don't know, I think it's about 400,000 members now. It's awesome. Tons of cool features. It's educational resources, lounges. We're going to talk about that. We got some a cool theme for you here, a Hollywood theme. And yeah, he's going to be calling in, so stay tuned for that pretty soon. And speaking of social networking, if you haven't heard it already, check out yesterday's show with the founder and CEO of Elevate My Brand, Laurel Mintz. That was a good show. I mean, because it's all about, you know, keeping up with these ever-changing, trending times. You know, that's a big word, trending. What's trending? You got to elevate your brand in the best you can, whether it's your company, your individual brand. Hey, you got to do it because you got to keep up with the Joneses and the times, changing times. Yeah, so check it out. All my shows are now on richtola.com, and the rich picks are there too, the best of the best. We go through all these shows. I mean, this is number 59. Pretty excited. And you'll check out the live music from our acoustic sessions as well. And remember, I mean, we're coming down the home stretch here for LA Talk Radio. I mean, this Monday, November 24th, pretty excited. Well, really, really excited to be moving over to youtube.com/Tola Talks. Yeah, going to get back in front of the camera. Talk to RB about that. He's been in front of the camera as well. And yeah, I'm really excited to bring it to you in person as well as on the radio, because the radio portion is going to be broadcast to richtola.com. That's right. You'll see the MP3s will be there. They're already up there now for these 59 shows. And tomorrow being our last show here. Yeah, we're going to record them live, post the video to YouTube and the audio MP3 to my website. Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty excited. Yeah, and the YouTube channel, again, youtube.com Tola Talks. It's up already. Jana did a great job getting that already for us. So check it out. Subscribe. You'll get all the shows. Same bat time, folks. Weekdays at noon. Pacific time. And yeah, there you go. Check us out. And I want to give a thanks to everyone here at LA Talk Radio. Sam, Ronnie, Ronan. I mean, these guys have been awesome. They got a great station here, giving me a great opportunity to establish the show and really hone my skills on live radio. You guys know I did the podcast, the 30 episodes, but they were edited. So moving to live shows, love it. It's awesome. And can't wait to bring it to you on the video as well. Well, it's also TBT, Throwback Thursday. That's another one of those acronyms that came out of nowhere, right? What, about a year or two ago? Never heard of that before, but it's TBT. So we're throwing back to 1963. That's the year I was born. It's also a pivotal year for a lot of things, some Hollywood things as well. Should be an interesting one. And that's certainly a year that was devoid of any and all things social media. It's like, social media, what the? Those words didn't even exist. Or the smartphone or the internet for that matter. I mean, you'll see the rotary phone was sort of being going out of style at that time. But yeah, we're going to have some fun with that. TBT 1963. Well, let's get started with some celebrity birthday shout outs. Like to do that. Celebrities are all the rage these days. Here we go. You remember yesterday's shout out, Carrie Strug, the Olympic gymnast? Well, how about her teammate, Dominique Dawes? I remember her from, well, she's 38, but remember, she was in both Olympics, 1992 and 96. She had Olympic gold and bronze medals. She was awesome. Yeah, she turned 38 today. How about Anybody baseball fans out there? I was a big baseball player. J.D. Drew. Yeah, there's a lot of controversy involved with him back in the day. He's 39. Let me tell you about that. And he was drafted by the Phillies in 1997. But his agent, Scott Boras, he's like the big-time agent out there. I think he won the $10 million. He wanted him to sign a big deal. So he didn't go with the Phillies. He ended up playing not in the United States. And anyway, the Cardinals drafted him the following year, 98. And long story short, he was a right fielder. I was a right fielder. And he played for the Dodgers. So I was a fan of J.D. Drew. And he only ended up with a lifetime batting average of .278. I think they expected a lot of more great things from him, but you could read all about it. He batted left and threw right. So, yeah. Anyway, there you go. Happy birthday, J.D., and happy birthday to Mike D. Who's Mike D.? He's 49. Remember? The rapper, singer, drummer for the Beastie Boys. Oh, yeah. If you guys don't know the Beastie Boys, well, the Beastie Boys are hardcore punk and hip-hop and kind of forged away, for sure. He was one of the founding members from New York City. I know the Beasties, yeah. And how about our, well, this one. Wow, this is a great one. Bo Derek. She's 58 today. Let me tell you, everybody knows. If you don't know Bo Derek, you got to go watch that movie from 1979, 10, with Dudley Moore and Julie Andrews. I mean, writer, director Blake Edwards. The music was really cool. Henry Mancini, but I'll tell you, as a 16-year-old boy coming of age, that's what I was at the time, a movie camp, she's running down the beach with these cornrows. I mean, let me tell you, I went from, I think it was Farrah Fawcett. I had that poster when I was a kid, right, with Farrah. I went from Farrah to Bo Derek in a heartbeat, and then she was all the rage, so, for years. Matter of fact, I didn't meet her personally, but there was a group of us who, we were at the Santa Anita racetrack. Yeah, my buddy Jimmy V, give a shout out to him. And we were hanging out in the owner's box, and Bo Derek was there, and Joe Pesci was there. I met Joe Pesci. I think, Bo, we were at a table, so we kind of met in a group, but she still looks hot. She looked awesome in that movie. And, well, anyway, moving on. Who else's birthday today? Joseph Biden, 47th VP of the United States. He's 72. He looks pretty darn good for 72. Way to go, Joe. Yeah. Well, anyway, on this day in history, I'd like to do that as well, because there's some cool things you got to know, right? Remember in the past? But don't live in the future here. Live in the present. This goes back to 1789. My state, New Jersey, was the first state to ratify the Bill of Rights. Way to go, Jersey. In 1962, kind of rolls over to, well, we'll talk about this later, but 1962, on this day, Russia, USSR, agrees to remove the bombers, the bombs, actually, from Cuba. And the U.S. lifts the blockade on the island. I mean, you guys remember the Cuban Missile Crisis? Yeah, I mean, there's some, I had to do a big report on this. I know all about this because when I was in high school, I think I was young, I don't know, maybe freshman, sophomore, I had to do this report and I picked Cuban Missile. I remember I had to go through all these newspapers back then, right? There's no internet. Well, they say it lasted 13 days, but it lasted a lot more than 13 days because it started on October 16th when President Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, was alerted that Soviet missiles, they were nuclear missiles, were in Cuba, which is 90 miles away, right? 90 miles from American soil. And so then there was this sort of behind the scenes. I mean, even Kennedy, they said he had a cold. There was a lot of things going on to keep the public from going into some crazy, you know, frenzy. And Nikita Khrushchev, leader of Russia, actually left 100 tactical nuclear weapons in Cuba, which the Americans were unaware of. And he finally removed them on December 1st. But I remember that because on this day is when, Kennedy removed it. But during that blockade, by the way, on October 24th, a Soviet ship came really close to that sort of barrier. It didn't breach it. And they said if it had, it would have been, all hell would have broke loose. So I remember that, 1962. What else happened in 1962? Well, being a big baseball fan, Mickey Mantle won his second Major League Baseball American League MVP. Well, the following year in 1963, our throwback year, he signed a contract with the Yankees for $100,000. It was huge money back then. Where do you see the standard of living? You'll know. But check this out. I watched this even today. I looked at the footage. On May 22nd, 1963, he hit a ball off the very, very top tier of Yankee Stadium. He was the closest guy to ever be able to hit a ball out of the stadium. No one ever has in a real game. Anyway, it claims to be rising when it hit that tier, right? That facade. And they say that ball could have gone 600 feet, maybe 700 feet, which is insane. The longest ball he's ever hit, home run, was 565 feet, which occurred 10 years earlier. But he did say, Mantle said when they interviewed him, he said it was the hardest ball he had ever hit. I mean, he was a legendary slugger. So here you go. 1969 on this day, remember the Brazilian soccer star Pelé? Pelé scored his 1,000th soccer goal. He retired 5 years later with 1,281 goals in 1,363 games. I mean, he was amazing. That was before soccer was all the rage. I mean, I remember that growing up. Soccer wasn't, I mean, our high school, my high school was really a big powerhouse in soccer, but yeah, baseball was more popular. Well, anyway, on this day in 1977, well, I love this guy, the late, great Walter Payton, right? NFL rusher for the Bears. He played 13 seasons with the Chicago Bears, and I was living there when he, kind of at the end of his career. He rushed for 275 yards at the time, set a record. Well, the record's now been broken. Adrian Peterson, he ran for 296 yards, so he's beat him on that. I think he's number five on the list in a single game. And, yeah, RIP to Walter Payton. He died at the age of 45. I do remember that. And then 1982, on this day in history, Drew Barrymore, at the age of seven, was the host of Saturday Night Live, the youngest ever. Okay, quick question. Who was the host, the oldest host ever? You could guess this one. Betty White. She was 88. Pretty cool. On that note, let's go around the globe for the latest news. I'm calling this first one, The Need for Speed. I'm not even going to tell you what that movie's from. Now you guys know it. Top Gun. The Need for Speed. Well, this is, good luck here. Bono. Everybody knows Bono. Let's get that right. Bono, the legendary lead singer of the Irish rock band from Dublin. U2. Arguably the greatest rock band of all time, or definitely top 10. He took a bike spill that led him to having surgery. Well, apparently it was pretty serious, with injuries including a facial fracture involving the orbit of his eye, three separate fractures of his left shoulder blade, and he fractured his left humerus bone in the upper arm. Now, that's bad stuff. I mean, on Monday, the band revealed that Bono injured his arm in a cycling spill. Well, the hospital expanded on that. An incident, they said, was a high-energy bicycle accident when he attempted to avoid another rider. Well, I guess he's a big biker. I mean, who knows how fast he was going, but, you know, he did shatter his arm in six different places, and it was tearing through the skin, they said. Oof, that's wild. I mean, I'll tell you, Bono's had a tough month. Just last week, a rear door off his plane, he had a private plane, he was traveling, prepared to land in Berlin, the door flew off. Well, good luck to Bono. I mean, he's a tough dude, so hopefully he'll be back at him pretty soon and doing his thing on, you know, all the talk shows. I think he was due to be on The Tonight Show, I think. Anyway, good luck, Bono, and let's move to the next story, calling this, What a Renegade. What about a renegade? Well, we talked about cars yesterday, the LA Auto Show, and how about the super speedy 2016 Cadillac, the Cadu, was capable of traveling at 185 miles an hour. It goes from 0 to 60 in 3.9 seconds. Well, is it as affordable as the new 2015 Jeep Renegade? Hell no. No, it's not, because in January, this little Renegade, it's a really cool looking Jeep, I'd say. Small Renegade will go on sale starting, quote, well below $20,000. Like, wow, well below $20,000? It's like, what's that mean? $15,000, $12,000? I mean, that's some serious cheap change here. Now, these SUVs are often called city utes, right? They're exploding in market share. The small SUV market, Honda's got one, the HR-V, Mazda's got the 6, the CX-3. Yeah, I guess they're all the rage. Renegade's made in Italy. There you go. Shout out to my friend Mindy in Rome. Roma. Yeah, well, that's where Fiat. Fiat's a parent company. They're based there. Well, it's Fiat Chrysler. But it's already being sold overseas as a 2015 model, okay? And for consistency, the U.S. version is also going to be called 2016, even though by U.S. standards, they could call it a 2016, but they're calling it a 2015. I don't know. Anymore nowadays, right? It's like things that the cars come out like a year in advance. Who knows what the years are, but they're jumping way ahead. Anyway, if you want one of these Renegades, it offers manual transmission, which is rare in an SUV, right? It's got on all the front wheel or all wheel models, right? could do it both. How about the engine? You got two different types. The 1.4 liter turbocharger, it's a four cylinder, 160 horsepower. And the 2.4 liter Tiger Shark, they're calling it, the four cylinder, 184 horsepower. Huh. And you got the six speed manual transmission. Well, that's cool, six speed. And you got the nine speed automatic. So, hey, you want a car that's kind of cool or whatever for less than 20 grand? Go for it. Okay, moving on. Calling this Saved by the Church. I like this story. Jose Antonio Ramirez Serrano. It's an 11-year-old Mexican boy. He had a benign tumor. I mean, you got to go see pictures of this. The size of a football. Well, more specifically, it was a foot long, 4 inches wide, and 4 inches deep. I mean, it's pretty nasty. Well, they removed it from his neck, shoulder, and upper torso on Monday. It took 25 medical professionals 12 hours to remove this massive tumor from the boy who traveled to the U.S. for help. Yeah, the operation took place at the University of Mexico Hospital, and they said it was 2 years in the making. Yeah, this is a nice story because the church members of the First Baptist Church of Rio Rancho came upon the boy during a missionary visit in 2012, and he learned the parents had kind of hit dead ends trying to get help for Jose. So they helped out. And his condition? It's called lymphangiomas. It's described as a rare lymphatic system malformation. It's like a kind of an elephant man malformation. You got to see it. It's pretty nasty. And the church raised the funds for treatment, and all his medical expenses have been covered. And yeah, he's going to be in the hospital for, they said, at least a month and future surgeries on his shoulder. They're going to rebuild the shoulder and get rid of the excess skin. Well, way to go. Good luck to you, Jose. You're going to be just fine. And here's a good, well, a sad Hollywood story. I mean, it's good in the fact that this guy was a true Hollywood legend. Rest in peace, Mike Nichols. And I'm sure RB's was influenced by him as well. But director Mike Nichols died yesterday of a heart attack at the age of 83. Now, we're talking legendary. Oscar, Emmy, Tony, Grammy winning director. He helmed some of Hollywood's greatest movies of all time. Let me tell you, you got to agree with this. Starting with Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf in 1966. How about The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman, Anne Bancroft. Remember Catherine Ross? Love her. From 1967. Day of the Dolphin. One of my favorite films of all time, really. I mean, I write about that in my memoir. 1973 with George C. Scott and his wife, Trish Vanderveer. Amazing movie. Didn't do tremendous at the box office, but that one of those that changed my world. What about Silkwood with Meryl Streep, Cheryl, Kurt Russell, Biloxi Blues? That was a kind of cool one with Matthew Broderick. Working Girl. Everybody loves Working Girl. From 1988 with Melanie Griffith, Sigourney Weaver, Harrison Ford. Alec Baldwin was a very svelte Alec Baldwin. What a great movie. Kind of influenced me with the whole Wall Street. I mean, I was a Wall Streeter three times over. You guys know that. So what else? The Birdcage. Remember The Birdcage? Robin Williams, Gene Hackman, Nathan Lane. How about Regarding Henry? Another Harrison Ford, Annette Bening. I mean, and then Primary Colors. John Travolta, Emma Thompson, Kathy Bates. I mean, this guy, I'll tell you, one of the few people to achieve the esteemed EGOT, the EGOT status, which means Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. I mean, who does that? Right, in today's world. And he had a background in improvisational satirical comedy, which impacted many of his films. And he was known, quite frankly, for coaxing remarkable performances out of sometimes unlikely thespians, such as singer Cher, who earned her first Oscar nod for her role in Silkwood. We're talking, he directed 16 different actors to Oscar-nominated performances, including Elizabeth Taylor, Dustin Hoffman, Richard Burton, Cher, Meryl Streep twice. Here's a quote from the man, the great Nichols said, "I love to take actors to a place where they open a vein. That's the job. The key is that I make it safe for them to open the vein," which is so true. I mean, actors, they got to feel safe to go to that place. I mean, he won his only directing Oscar for The Graduate. That six Oscar nods, remember? Plastics, I tell you, plastics. Well, rest in peace, Mike Nichols. Yeah, let's give a shout out to our sponsors. Got to thank our sponsors for helping out here. Dress for Success organization, I'm truly all about this empowerment. Dress for Success is an international non-for-profit organization that promotes the economic independence of disadvantaged women by providing professional attire, a network of support, and the career development tools to help women thrive in work and in life. Because it's all about helping our fellow mankind, or for dressforsuccess.org, it's womankind, by helping those less fortunate. Just like West Coast director Rena DeAssis and the folks in Los Angeles have done by serving more than 4,000 clients big number there, and partnering with over 160 community agencies since opening in 2009. So only 5 years. Check out, you know, you can do it on Facebook, right? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at DFS West. I did interview Rena on October 29th. Great interview. Go check that one out on my website, right? RichTolo.com. Or come to the event. I'm going to be there Saturday. It's called Shop for Success LA from today, November 20th, through Sunday in Westwood Village at 1000 Westwood Boulevard. That's UCLA land. And 100% of all proceeds benefit the charity. Hope to see you there, guys. It's going to be a great event. Looking forward to it. Yeah, talk about a great event. And right after this show, I'm going to go see my buddy John Francis. That's right, John Francis Beauty. Want to look and feel your best with one of the most sought after and editorial celebrity stylists in the business? But then look no further. John Francis, founder and chief visionary of John Francis Beauty, is a creative force of nature with an eye for defining the latest styles. His creative vision, combined with his talents for enhancing the natural beauty of his clients such as Hayden Panettiere, Hilary Duff, Gerard Butler, and Sting, just to name a few, have made him quite the industry favorite. You can visit his website at johnfrancisbeauty.com and follow him on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at, Facebook and Instagram at John Francis Beauty. You got to definitely check him out because both men and women, you don't have to be a celebrity to experience the best. Yeah, I did interview John Francis, super cool guy. He's into surfing, motocross, a family man. Oh yeah, check it out. That was September 8th. Really good interview. And I'll say hello when I see him for you. There you go. So let's do this. Let's throw it back real quick because RB is going to be calling in. And then we'll give out the award when we'll get a chance to do that. 1963, what was going on? Inflation rate, 1.24%. Ooh, low. Dow Jones, 762. Low. Cost of a new house was $12,650. I know, my parents paid $14,000 for a two-story Cape Cod that year. Right, average income was not even $6,000. Gallon of gas was 29 cents. That's right. And you could buy a brand new bedroom air conditioner for $150, which probably hasn't gone up in value, right, with Central Air. And a new car, average $3,233. But what was really happening in 63? Well, President JFK, 35th U.S. president, was assassinated. Everybody knows that on November 22nd, coming up on that. And Lyndon B. Johnson had to step into the role of president. And then 2 days later, Lee Harvey Oswald was murdered by nightclub owner Jack Ruby. A lot of stuff going on, right? There was teaming. There's troubles in Vietnam. You had 80 American advisors were killed. The continued campaign for civil rights, right, by... Martin Luther King was big. I mean, there was sort of reactionary violence in Mississippi, Virginia, and Alabama. And Martin Luther King gave his speech that year, I Have a Dream, in front of 250,000 supporters of civil rights on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. That's right. It was a defining moment of American civil rights movement. Yeah, what else happened that year? AT&T introduced the touch-tone phone. Oh, how about that? I'll tell you, those rotary phones. Zip codes are implemented in the U.S. The lava lamp. The Astro Lamp, they called it, was launched. And the cassette tape recorder was first used in the Netherlands. That's kind of interesting, right? Cassettes. And what else? Let's take a look. We got some more things here. Let me tell you what's happening in the world. There was 890 million Christians, 200 million Buddhists, 365 million Hindus, and 13 million Jews. Studebaker, the U.S. car maker, went out of business. That's right. On December 20th, they closed. Amex introduced a credit card in the UK. Alcatraz, Federal Penitentiary, The Rock. That was closed. Good movie, by the way. You can check that one out with Nicolas Cage. Berlin Wall, open for a one-day pass. That's interesting. And the first U.S. state lottery was in New Hampshire. Talk about culture, pop culture. Well, the Beatle, it was Beatlemania. That, I remember. You guys that know about Beatlemania? Beatles released their first single in the UK, right, in the year before. But then in 1963, they released their first album, Please Please Me. And that song, on the flip side, was Ask Me Why, called the B-side. And then in November 29th, they released I Want to Hold Your Hand. How about that? And on the flip side, it was called This Boy. They did appear on the Ed Sullivan Show, not until the following year, but all throughout 1963, they were all the rage. Yeah, they were all the rage for years until they split, what, in 69? Yeah. Anyway, what else was happening in terms of music? Roy Orbison was huge, Buddy Holly, the Drifters, Jim Reeve. I mean, yeah, music was kind of interesting at that point. My mom was a big Motown fan, but these guys are kind of rocking. In TV, The Andy Griffith Show, The Flintstones, Mr. Ed. I watched Mr. Ed. The Dick Van Dyke Show, he was a riot. General Hospital, wow. And Doctor Who, remember Petticoat Junction? Holy cow, and The Avengers. Yeah, in terms of film, what was happening in film land? The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock, right? From Russia with Love. Remember Sean Connery, 007, who, by the way, played in The Rock with Nicolas Cage. Cleopatra was there, came out. It's a mad, 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 mad world. I remember that. I do remember that. Pink Panther, right? Lord of the Flies. Yeah, what about some birthdays? Well, let's talk about the Oscar. Who got the Oscar? Remember, the Oscar is for the film from the previous year. This came out December 16th, 1962. Lawrence of Arabia. No kidding. That was huge. In terms of birthdays, yeah, Johnny Depp was born June 6th of 63. Michael Jordan, the great, was born on November 17th. Tatum O'Neal was born on November 5th. And Rich Tola was born on March 29th. I think I beat all these guys. That's right. I'm a little older than Johnny Depp. 3 months. Not even. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to our man, Richard R.B. Botto. So I'm going to be calling him R.B. That's kind of what he goes by. And let's talk a little bit about this man because he was influenced by Orson Welles. So he's a big cinephile, I'm sure, has to be. That's inspired the name, Stage 32. It's taken from the old RKO Soundstage 17 where Citizen Kane was filmed. I mean, he's all about it. Actor, producer, screenwriter himself, done some voiceover work, Los Angeles. You know, started this company with official launch of February 1st of 2012, right? Founded in Scottsdale, Arizona, say. And him and another guy, Derek. Well, you got to pronounce his name for me, RB, but I'm going to say Ontiveros. He's the CTO. So that's what I read about, these two guys, like RB and this guy, Derek. And then they officially launched, and by August of 2013, again, that's about when I joined, 150,000 members. And then in April of this year, they acquired the Happy Writers. I mean, you're talking a lot of stuff going on Stage 32. You should check it out, stage32.com. It's definitely a community, an online networking. It's like a social networking site, basically, for the entertainment industry, film, TV, theater, all the professionals. It's got everything from news, blogs, jobs, connections, lounge discussions, deals, education. You got webinars. I mean, you know, RB's doing a lot of these webinars himself. You got pitch sessions, all sorts of stuff. I mean, success stories, testimonials, interviews, news. I mean, wow, these guys are, well, look at this. Perfect timing. I think this is our man right here. RB, is that you?
This is me.
Awesome. Perfect timing. I'm just giving everybody a quick overview. So, ladies and gents, say hello to the founder of Stage 32, Richard R.B. Botto.
Awesome. I'm actually listening to it.
Oh, awesome. And I'm able to, yeah, I'm calling you R.B., right?
This is me. All right. Here we go.
Yeah, I think you want to turn that down in the background there.
There you go. I didn't know we were live already.
Oh, yeah. You're live. And by the way, I mean, from the pictures, I haven't met RB yet, but I know I will soon. You look like you're a big fitness guy.
I try to keep myself in shape.
You try? I don't know. You look pretty pretty solid. So are you from Scottsdale?
No, originally from New York, Brooklyn and Staten Island.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I lived there for 12 years on the 81st and 1st, and my girlfriend lived in Tottenville.
No, you got to be kidding me. No kidding.
Yeah, her brother was a big fire. He was in the fire department. They went to 9/11, actually. He was fortunate. He was not one of the ones who perished. But down there at the bottom of the island, it went back and forth.
Oh, I know that area well.
Oh, yeah. So New Yorker comes west. You're doing all sorts of amazing things with this site, by the way, I will say. I've seen it grown in just a short period of time.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a wild ride, for sure.
So really, what was the defining factor for you? Because I know you've done acting. You've done a lot of things. You've been in the business. And then, boom, how'd you come up with the concept? I mean, it's cool.
Well, I mean, it came from a lot of different, I guess it was bred from a lot of different things, you know, going all the way back to my acting days in New York. But the defining moment was at the American Film Market in 2009, I would say, just speaking to people that were coming to the market from all over the world looking to pitch their ideas. Or, you know, I had completed films looking for distribution. And, you know, the one thing about AFM is, you know, everybody comes in, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in the morning, and by the afternoon they look like club seals, and, you know, they're you know, you get beaten down a lot at AFM. And in any film market you do. I mean, you know, you got to hit it right, and you got to find the right partner and the right connection. And it's not easy. And what ended up happening was I spoke to a lot of people that had flown in internationally from places such as Australia, Japan, and said, you know, what are you going to do next if you can't sell? And they said, well, we're going to come back next year. And I thought that that was just ridiculous. They had no other options and no other connections. And I started thinking back to my acting days in New York where, you know, I had friends that were, you know, infinitely more talented than I was who just didn't have the connections to take their careers to the next level. So it was a combination of a lot of these things, thinking about the fact that I really wasn't a social media guy, and the reason I wasn't was because I didn't think there were really any social media outlets out there that would help me with my career. You know, Facebook, family and friends, LinkedIn, more white collar. So, you know, I thought about niche networks and a niche social network, and, you know, the idea that there really wasn't a place for creatives in film, television, and theater to kind of congregate and to make those connections that make the world a little bit smaller. We live in a virtual world now, and when you have people doing acting via Skype and, you know, people being signed, let's say, screenwriting-wise, overseas with reps in L.A., I mean, it's a reality in this world now, and it's not going to change. It's just going to become more the case as we go along. So it was, you know, bred from all those things, and I felt like there was a need for it, and I also wanted to bring education into the mix, which is a big something I'm very proud of, you know, that we're able to do, but I wanted to be able to bring it to people that didn't have the opportunity. You know, you live in LA, you could throw a rock and hit an acting school, and, you know, same thing in New York in a lot of ways, but if you're a screenwriter, let's say in the Midwest, or, you know, I don't know, in Scotland or something, you know, you're not going to be able to find the support or the education you need. So again, being a virtual world, I wanted to bring education in as well. So took me about 2 years to convince myself to do it and to take it on. And, you know, we finally went into beta in about mid-2011.
Right, right. Wow, it's been an amazing journey then. I mean, I know what it's like to found a company, right? It brews with you and you wake up in the middle of the night and you got ideas and you write them down. So then how did you meet Derek? I mean, Derek's a co-founder as well. I mean, I see him as a CTO because I read about both you guys a couple years back.
Yeah, Derek is the CTO of the company and met him very early on in the process. And, you know, I was looking for somebody that would be able to carry out the vision. And we clicked right away and just, you know, shared the same vision and the same idea for how we wanted to go forward and the steps that we would need to take because, you know, you can't throw everything to the mix day one. You know, you have to have a strategy of how you're going to do this in phases. And, you know, we shared that vision and we just went from there. So it's been a perfect marriage in a lot of ways of, you know, me being in the front, him being in the back, handling all the technical stuff. And we built a great team around it, which has been the really cool thing. It was just Derek and I probably for the first 2 years. And over the last year or so, we've been able to add about 7 or 8 more people to the team. And they've helped carry it that much further.
Yeah, you guys are rocking it. There's no doubt because I like what you said because, for instance, in my network, you know, you get people from all over the world. There's a lot of talent out there, people with great visions, but they don't even know where to turn, you know? They're just, it's like the guitar player has been in his basement playing for 15 years, right? But now this is a great resource. I like the education. You do the webinars. I mean, yeah, you're bringing on all sorts of talent. Then talk about the successes, how people make these connections. You do these connection weekends.
Introduce yourself weekends. Yeah, yep. And actually, the next one is tomorrow. Begins tomorrow, and basically, it's sort of a, you know, if you will, an open house, so to speak, for you to come in, whether you're a new member or an old member, to come in and introduce yourself to the community in a section in what we call the Stage 32 Lounge, which is sort of our forums. And you can come in, introduce yourself, and, you know, put forth what you're looking to do, where you've been, and where you're looking to go. And, you know, what it does is it kind of accelerates the process of finding the connections that might make a difference in, you know, your career or your life or the next project you're looking to put together. And they've just been wildly successful. You know, we've had screenwriters who have connected with filmmakers in India, you know, to write, you know, films for producers in India. We've had composers in the UK hooking up with people in LA to score their films. I mean, it's just, it's constant. You know, I can go on all day about all the success stories, but it's just a, it's almost like networking on steroids over a weekend for 72 hours. And like I said, it's proven to be wildly successful, so we do it every month.
Right, and we know, as in the Hollywood world, connections, oof, that's the imperative word, right?
I mean, it really is a world of who you know, and it's pretty cool when you could have who you knows in, you know, every country around the world, potentially in every country around the world. So, you know, filmmaking is happening everywhere, and, you know, the barrier of entry to make a film has never been lower, and it will continue to be lower. So, you know, you're able to piece together the needs, you know, kind of all over the world, as evidenced by the, or as illustrated by what I said earlier about having, you know, a composer in one country scoring a film that was filmed in another country.
So let me go back to your background here. I know you said you started in New York as an actor. What I don't know if you throw your age out there, but how long ago did you start in the business?
It started about 15 years ago, and you know, really enjoyed it. Really, you know, got into it and was part of the creative. Always been writing. Been writing my whole life, but wasn't writing screenplays until more recently. And you know, just kind of got sidetracked based on some entrepreneurial pursuits. I started a magazine called Razor. Magazine, which was a men's lifestyle magazine that was national, played in the same sort of arena as GQ and Esquire, and you know, we ran for 6 years, and we had a readership of about 1.5 million at its peak. Wow. And you know, that was a full time job. You know, putting together a magazine, publishing and editing a magazine was, you know, was crazy, especially one that was national. And then once that ended, you know, I kind of got back into dipped my toe back into acting a little bit, but then started producing as well, and was involved with a film that went to Sundance in 2011 called Another Happy Day, which was written and directed by Sam Levinson, Barry Levinson's son. Mm-hmm. And that starred Ellen Barkin and Demi Moore and Tom Seyton Church and Ezra Miller, and on, Kate Bosworth, and won the Screenwriting Award at Sundance. And, you know, it was during that time I started writing. And, you know, I started writing some screenplays, put my focus into that. Right now, you know, landed representation, and right now we're in development on one of the scripts as we speak.
Nice. Yeah. So you know, like you said, you got to make things happen. You can't wait for things to happen for you, right? You got to go out there and do it.
I think it's one of the biggest misconceptions for creators. We were having this conversation yesterday, is that, you know, you have much more control than you think. You know what I mean? You're in control of everything every day. And, you know, as long, and you know this, Rich, I mean, as long as you've been through it, as long as you're understanding of the fact that you're going to deal with you know, as a creative, you're going to deal with adversity all the time, and it's how you digest that adversity and react to it that really defines you, you'll be okay. You know, if you keep putting in the work and the time honing your craft and the time networking to make those connections and make a difference, and again, you know, handle that adversity in a way that you turn it into a positive and a learning experience, you'll be all right. You'll be okay.
Got to keep creating. I say that all the time. There's that whole, I call it the quiet, silent rejection in this town, right? You put it out there and people don't respond, but that's okay. You got to believe in yourself. Got to keep moving forward. Look at you. You've tried different things, but it doesn't matter. Now with this resource, and then, I see. You go back. You date back to 2004. You did the super secret movie roles. I mean, you did, you know, you've been, been putting stuff out, and then you're writing, and now the site. Well, it looks to me like you guys are going to – is this the type of site you sell for like $1 billion to Facebook? Or?
Hey, you know, your mouth to God's ears. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. Right now, we're really happy with you know, the direction it's taken and the direction we're taking it. You know, the education part, for example, you know, we needed a couple of years. It's something I would love to have been able to introduce day one, but the reality is until you have the networking, until you have the interaction, you really can't do it. And plus, we also wanted to – cultivate our relationships with executives in the industry. You know, we didn't want to bring in people to teach that hadn't been through it and haven't, you know, or aren't doing it right now in the business. So, you know, the 250 executives that we have working for us right now, all in teaching and, you know, teaching webinars, teaching classes, and hearing pitches to the Happy Writers and things of that nature, they've all been through the trenches. You know, yesterday we had an Emmy winner on, a six-time Emmy winner on. I mean, we had to cultivate those relationships. So it took about 2 years to do that. And now, like I said, over the last year, we've been concentrating on education. And now in 2015, we're going to be, you know, expanding that, but also trying to move forward on some other ideas as well. So it's just, you know, it's a process, and we'll just keep rolling along. But it's definitely blown up over the last, I would say, you know, year or so.
Yeah. No, I've seen it. The evolution I've seen from the very beginning, even the look and the feel and the ease of use and how you move around the site. And I mean, it's changed. I mean, you really have done a great job, I think. You guys should check it out, stage32.com. I'd say it to everybody I bump along the street. They said, well, you know, I kind of heard, we got to check it out. Even the logos, you know, you keep evolving, and the evolution is right for the user. So what are you up to, like about 400,000 now? You got a lot on that site.
Yeah, just a little, a hair below that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Half a million, but it goes important.
By the way, I appreciate you spreading the word, because, you know, the site was started under the idea of crowdsourcing that, you know, if you liked what you saw, you invited five fellow creatives, and that's what we do today. We ask people to carry the message if they're, you know, getting something out of the site and are excited about what we're doing, to, you know, to send invites and invite people to the site. So I appreciate that you're doing that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's out there for people. I mean, I know, I mean, I'm kind of doing the radio thing now, but the TV, it's more, I see it like a lot of film, TV, you got the screenwriting, the writers. Tell me about that acquisition, because the Happy Writers, I mean, because you're a writer, that's your passion. So you went out and you acquired... you know, this entity, right? More for the education as well as helping writers out there.
Yeah, and you know, it's another thing I'm enormously proud of, because as a screenwriter and as a novice screenwriter as recently as 3-4 years ago, you know, it's easier than ever for anybody to put Final Draft on their computer or buy Final Draft or even find free software like Celtics and, you know, write a screenplay. And WGA, for example, registers 50,000 a year, which is, you know, insane. And that means there's probably, you know, another 100, 150,000, 200,000 that aren't being registered.
Right.
The thing that I noticed is that, of course, when you have that kind of jump in the amount of people that are doing something, inevitably what happens is a lot of snake oil salesmen move into the space, and they call themselves experts, and, you know, they'll offer coverage or offer to get you here or get you there, and it's really garbage. There's nothing going on there. So the Happy Writers, what they were doing, which I thought was really, really unique, is they were offering pitching sessions, and you could do this either via Skype or via written submission with executives working in the business, managers, agents, directors of development, producers. And you, what happens is, you know, for example, with the Skype, if you were going to do a Skype pitch, is that you're face-to-face with this executive. So you could be anywhere in the world, and these executives, these managers and agents and producers have signed or optioned or bought material from people as far away. We had a soldier in Afghanistan that pitched and got signed by Bender Sting. You know, we had a writer in New York who was about, you know, 55 years old, was about to give up the ghost, you know, because he'd been doing it forever, and got signed again by Bender Sting actually, and got placed on Black Box on ABC. You know, it's just this fascinating thing. So I was watching, Joey Tuccio is the guy who founded this. I was, you know, I sat in on some of the sessions and watched what he was doing, and I was just completely blown away. And so much so that we went out and acquired the company. And, you know, we've kept Joey in charge of it, and it's been amazing. We've had 175 writers in the 3-year history of it, you know, either signed, optioned, sold, or placed on, you know, on television sets. So it's been amazing.
If you're a writer, you definitely got to be on this set. I mean, there's no doubt you've made the world that much smaller for everyone who's kind of scratching their head saying, I have no shot. Now you have a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a great shot.
That was the goal, yeah.
No, man, you guys are doing great things. Well, I'm going to keep following you along the way for sure, and you know, I'll be spreading the word as well, and looking forward to meeting you soon in one of these events. You know, you're doing that too. And but let me do this, because we always like to ask you, they call it the Fast Five. I'm going to give you five quick questions. Whatever comes off the top of your mind are kind of easy, but give us the flavor,
okay,
your personality. Here we go. Number one, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Chocolate. No,
I'm like, he's a New Yorker, he's got to go chocolate. Well, the second one's got to be, yeah, well, of course, people know this one. What do we got? Tropical island or New York City?
Oh, the city, without question. Yeah.
Oh, of course, of course. You know, I moved to New York. You'll appreciate this. It was 1994, the first time I moved there. I lived on 14th between 8th and 9th Avenue on the north side of the street. Oh, my God. You couldn't even come out of the subway without, you know, turning around, looking around. Remember all the transvestites on that block? It was wild.
That was a good sports year to be in New York, though. It was. Ranks in the Knicks. That was a great year.
Oh, it was a great year. And the guy I worked for was a big Rangers fan. So, oh, yeah, it was huge. All right, number three here is ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Oh, ancient Rome. Of course. No question. Listen, I'm an old school Italian. I mean, come on.
That's right. That's right. I love it. Number four, tearjerker or action thriller?
Oh, action thriller for sure. Yeah, no question.
You're like, you're all fueled up there. It's good. I could say. All right. Last one here is candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Candlelight dinner.
Ooh.
I'm an old school romantic, too.
Of course. Are you making dinner or are you taking her to dinner?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I can work my way around the kitchen.
Really?
No question.
I could see that. I could see you. You have any special aid? He's a hot guy, folks. I don't know. All these ladies are going to be checking you out. Are you married?
I am not. I am in a relationship, but not married.
Oh, okay. Well, relationships, that's the ladies, there's still hope.
A good relationship, a great
relationship. Oh, that's good. No, I mean, they're the only kind to be in. I mean, you probably had your bad boy days like I did, well, back in New York, maybe. But, no, it's great to have you on the show. I'm so glad I was able to, folks. I really wanted to get RB on the show before we moved in. And I'd love to have you back when I got the YouTube going, moving the channel over to YouTube. Pretty excited because I kind of want to get him back, you know, well, you've been in front of the camera, you know. So we're going to be taking show, and doing the radio, like, on the video. So I'm looking forward to that. So I'd like to, and we'll talk more because maybe, you know, who knows where your site goes. Because YouTube, you know, there's all these outlets out there that's just not just TV or film, right? And that's becoming crazy.
Absolutely. And I would love to do it. And I just wanted to say, too, because I listened to the first half of the show. You know, I actually did radio for 8 years. I was on a sports radio ESPN affiliate in Arizona for 8 years. And, you know, it's not an easy transition to make at first. And it takes a special skill and to be able to engage and to ask the right questions and everything. And I just want everybody to be doing a killer job with it.
Oh, dude, thanks a lot. You know, you're right. This is my 59th show. I've been here 3 months, but you know, I did these podcasts, and then I'm like, you know, live is different, and it's taken me, you know, you kind of, as you know, you sort of settle in your style, but I'm loving it. I really do, but I appreciate that. Thanks for the compliment.
It shines through, man. It shines through. You can hear it.
I love it. I love it. So, hey, man, good luck to you. Look forward to meeting you soon, and everybody at Stage 32, guys, are doing a great job. Check them out, stage32.com, RB, founder. You know, hey, he's the guy. He's accessible, too. That's what I like about you, too, RB. You're putting out, you're writing things like the one about the first mistake people make with social media. I read that. Yep. I read your stuff. He's a talented guy, guys. Go check him out. And I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
Right.
Really appreciate it.
All right. You take care.
All right. Peace. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah, the guys, you got to go check that. I mean, this is a success story, right? I love the fact. I didn't even know he was a paisano from the East Coast over there, New Yorker. We got to talk more about Staten Island. Oof, I went to see the baseball games there, and I've done everything, taking the ferry over. It was a lot of fun. But, what a great talk with RB, the founder of Stage 32. So there you go. And, before we let you go here, I got to get Your Shit Together Award in there because that's important, right? Every day we do the Get Your Shit Together because somebody's got to get it together. This is like, it blows me away. You got to go see this video. It's like too funny to be true. It's kind of ridiculous. Okay, what are we talking about? And I don't know who to give the award to. You tell me. I think it's the school. It's the kids involved. It's the cop. There's a cop who punches a girl like he's going to break up a fight at a high school. So here we go. It's a lunchtime fight at Ernest Righetti High School. No relation to Dave Righetti, I'm sure. It's in Santa Maria, which is near Santa Barbara. It's kind of central California. Ended up with the police swarming onto campus with a helicopter. They closed the school, and they put 6 students under arrest, 4 males and 2 females. Why? Well, there was 2 girls. They're having like a cat fight. They said it wasn't too bad, right? The fight was kind of minor, and then a sheriff's deputy jumps in there, a big dude. He, like, strikes the girl, punches her in the face, and then he drags her on the ground, and all of a sudden, the brawl, because her friends came to the rescue. It's, like, wild. You got to see the stuff that goes on. You know, innocent bystander kind of caught it on videotape, but not that much, just a little bit. But anyway, these 2 girls that, I don't know, people. Who are we giving it to? It's like, Food Fight. Yeah, that's another film. Animal House. Right. Anyway, they were throwing food at the guy. You see, there were pictures of the cop with food on his back. Well, anyway, the good news is I don't think anybody was really that hurt. Huh. The bad news is you shouldn't be fighting. Got to get your shit together. First of all, ladies, that's the last thing you want to do is fight. Women, come on. You don't want to be brawling. I mean, guys don't want to be brawling. I mean, I had a couple of brawls in my back in the day. I remember doing stupid things, but it's stupid. Everybody knows that. You got to get your shit together. And as far as the cop goes, you know, he's a big dude. He could have been more careful not swinging at these girls. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. So without even naming any names, I'm giving it to everybody. Now, the school, I don't know what the school could have done, but the kids, you shouldn't be fighting, all right? Anybody listen to this? That's the last thing you resort to. You got to have, you know, it's peace and love. It's this 1963 throwback, right? You got to be kind of good about it. So get your shit together to the police officer over there, the students at Ernest Rigetti High School over, over there. And anyway, you guys, I don't know. All I know is that's our show for today. Wow. I'm telling you, it goes so quick. I mean, RB knows that. He was on the radio. It's like, boom, you turn around when you're loving it. It goes quick. So, guys, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to check out the new channel, youtube.com/Tola Talks. Pretty easy to remember. You know how to spell my name, like 2LA, right? Yeah, youtube.com/Tola Talks, you know that. That's going to be happening on Monday. I'm digging it. And, yeah, write to us. You can email me, info@richtola.com. And special thanks to RB of Stage 32. Another great conversation. Those guys are cooking it up. Looking forward to seeing more from them. And, well, you know the drill. I'm Rich Tola. And remember, dreams do come true. But, hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola. Right here on LA Talk Radio.